The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome back to the Dan Prof Show. Dr. Tony Fauci on with Jake Tapper over the weekend asked the question about when the reopening could begin, what that would look like. Here's what he said.
You know, I think it could probably start at least in some ways, maybe next month. And again, Jake, it's so difficult to make those kinds of predictions because they always get thrown back at you if it doesn't happen. Not by you, but, you know, by any of a number of people. We are hoping that at the end of the month, we could look around and say, okay, is there any element here that we can safely and cautiously start pulling back on? If so, do it. If not, then just continue to hunker down. And that's what, at least from the standpoint of the public health aspect, that we look at. Other decisions are going to have to be made at the level of the president and the governors about what they are going to do with all of the information they get. The only thing I and my colleagues in public health and medicine can do is to give a projection of the kinds of things that may or may not happen when you make these steps.
Yeah, and economists need to do the same things about the steps that have been taken and the steps that may be necessitated if significant portions of the economy are not opened up in the next several weeks. For more on this, we're pleased to be joined by Luigi Zingales. He is a professor of finance at the University of Chicago and co-host of the podcast Capital Isn't. Capital Isn't seems to be a good working title for what we're doing in terms of market interventions by government during this pandemic. Professor Zingales, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
My pleasure.
You penned a piece with a colleague in the Wall Street Journal about the first disaster relief bill, the CARES Act, both from a brief review of the fiscal side as well as the monetary side. Which is more concerning to you about what the government is doing, the loan programs and the direct payments to individuals, or the $4 trillion in liquidity that the Fed has to work with?
I think that a bit of both, in a sense. I'm very worried about the $4 trillion of liquidity and how this will be administered. But I'm equally worried about the fact that the payroll protection program seems to have been designed not particularly well, both in terms of speed of execution and in terms of targeting. As a result, I think that my fear is that a lot of people who need this money will not receive it or will not receive it promptly. A lot of people who don't need that money or don't deserve that money will be receiving, and there will not be enough money. And in fact, shortly after we wrote the article, there was a pressure to go back to ask for more.
Yeah, exactly as you predicted in your piece. That's right. What are we to take away from the nearly 17 million first-time unemployment filers the past 3 weeks in terms of what we're looking at if the U.S. economy stays in this stasis for another 3 weeks or 6 weeks or longer?
So there is no doubt that the impact on the economy is going to be very large, and the 17 million is an indication of that, and I don't think that we're going to see anybody going to work anytime soon. So that number can only get worse. So I think that the concern is to what extent we are providing financial assistance to these 17 million so that they don't run out of money. And number two, to what extent we are keeping the economy in shape when we could reopen. So the concern is some of those firms might disappear in the meantime. So if tomorrow there was a cure and everybody could go back, not everybody will go back at the same in the same shape. So that, I think that that's what we should try to achieve in terms of public policy.
When we come back with Luigi Zingales, I want to talk a little bit more about Fed policy, about monetary policy, particularly propping up by buying debt in, for example, the muni bond markets and allowing some governments that haven't exactly managed their affairs well prior to the pandemic to continue not managing their affairs well. We'll have more with Luigi Zingales, who's a professor of finance at the University of Chicago. He's also co-host of the podcast Capital Isn't. Back with more right after this.
The Dan Proft Show.
Welcome back to the Dan Proft Show. We're talking to Luigi Zingales. He's a professor of finance at the University of Chicago, co-host of the podcast Capital Isn't. And Professor Zingales, going back to the monetary side of this, the Fed policy, you know, the Fed has set up all these different facilities, separate legal entities that are going to buy up short-term business IOUs, commercial paper, long-term corporate bonds, short-term municipal bonds. They're also either going to buy debt directly from companies in the primary market or from other traders in the secondary market. All of this buying of debt by the Fed, what is the, in addition to the inflationary pressure the printing of money creates, what are some of the other pitfalls, concerns that the Fed's policies present for you?
So I think we are seeing on steroids what we saw after 2008, the 2008 crisis. So if that experience should teach us something, it teaches that probably there will not be a inflationary pressure. But and that some of that intervention is helping to stabilize the market. But the fact that this intervention is taking place twice in a decade suggests that the role of the Fed is changing dramatically. And from being the lender of last resort is becoming actually the buyer of last resort, the stabilizer of the market of last resort. And I think that a lot more scrutiny needs to be put in place of what are the implications from a point of view of policy of this intervention? Because, of course, there are important redistributional effects that a technical agency like the Fed is not necessarily best designed to address.
Well, and what does that do in, with propping up the muni bond market in particular? I mean, you have local units of government like the city of Chicago, state governments like the state of Illinois, but also New York, Connecticut, California, that carry huge debt loads and rely on propping up their finances, rely on being able to borrow, being able to sell bonds into the market to continue, you know, propping up all of their pension systems and unfunded healthcare liabilities in particular. Does this create the Fed's intervention in the muni bond market? Does this create an ongoing moral hazard for those state and local governments?
To the extent that COVID is unpredictable, I'm not so sure that this creates moral hazard. In a sense, I don't think that the current crisis is certainly is not responsible of local governments. Maybe you can ask whether at the federal level we took initiatives too late. So I don't think that this necessarily pop up moral hazard. However, there is a serious issue that we have experienced also in Europe in the euro crisis of 2010 and 11. And the fact is that if we rely the market to put discipline in this local government, the market is supposed to put discipline in the single country government, then we are to face the fact that the market is not perfect. There are what we call in economics multiplicity of equilibria. So when people panic, they are likely to ask a very large premium, and this premium is likely to cause default to begin with. So the central banks were designed in the past precisely to intervene to avoid this multiplicity of equilibria. So they will intervene to slow down panic. Now, once they intervene and they show they can slow down panic, then the question is why they should not intervene all the time, and the political pressure is there. So it's very difficult to rely as a form of discipline on the market when the market has some imperfection. This imperfection can be cured by the Fed, but then really the Fed becomes the discipliner of last resort.
Well, and it seems like in this what's new here as compared to 2008 is the Fed is bypassing the banks and providing credit directly.
No, that's a completely different ball game. In a sense, I was talking about more the purchase of muni bonds.
Yes.
Like the purchase of agency. Now when we go into direct lending, now even the Federal Reserve Act, the original Federal Reserve Act, foresaw the possibility of direct lending to the economy in a moment of a crisis. So this is not completely unprecedented, but it's clearly giving an enormous role to the Fed, a role that I'm not so sure how prepared they are and how they will administer. And the risk that this is administered politically, I think it's pretty serious.
Well, and the other thing you're seeing from this intervention is the belief by some who apparently never passed an Econ 101 course that, well, I mean, if we can print $6 trillion, we can assume another $6 trillion in debt, then why not make it 10 or 12 or 20? So let's give everybody $2,000 on a debit card right now and $1,000 a month for the foreseeable future until a year after the virus has subsided. Let's do a $2 trillion infrastructure project while we're at it. Let's do another $100 billion for hospitals. Let's do another $100 billion for state and local governments. I mean, if there's no consequence to printing money and everything that the Fed or that the federal government does is stimulative, then let's just keep going.
Yeah, I think there is a very serious risk. I think it's important to distinguish cases in which the Fed uses its balance sheet to buy some assets, that as long as these assets do not default, do not disappear in value, will not this decision will not have inflationary pressure, versus a government spending more in deficit and creating the possibility of a overinflated demand at the time in which the supply chain becomes more complicated. So we see now that there are some shortages in the food supply. So I think that the risk is to have to prop too much on one side when the supply is too limited on the other. I think that that's one concern. The second concern, as you mentioned, is this idea that you can finance everything, because even a country as big and as powerful as the United States, even a country that has its currency accepted all over the world and its debt accepted all over the world like the United States, might eventually face some form of debt capacity, and that will clearly create problems down the line.
He is Luigi Zingales. He's a professor of finance at the University of Chicago, co-host of the podcast Capital Isn't. Professor Zingales, thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Take care.
The more you listen, the more you'll know. This is the Dan Proft Show.